I am 51 years old. I have been in church all of my life. That means I have been in at least 8,000 church services. Now, that doesn't count revivals and special meetings. I spent 6 years in Bible college and in seminary. Had chapel almost every day there. Of course, studied the Word of God. Studied every book in the Word of God. Growing up, I was in Sunday school. I was in youth meeting. I was in neighborhood Bible time. I went to summer camp. Since I was a teenager, I've tried to spend time in God's Word every day. That's about 13,000 days. Sounds old, doesn't it? I have had a great deal of exposure to the Word of God. Now, knowing all of that, just to be honest with you, if I were to take off my shirt and on my t-shirt, it should say Super Christian. I mean, hallelujah. Anybody who's heard that much of the Word of God, or has studied that much of the Word of God, and has read and memorized that much of the Word of God, surely they've got it all together. Well, you know me too well to know that's just not the case. Now, why is that? How is it that we can have such great exposure to the Word of God personally and corporately, and yet we seem to go on our life unchanged? Well, now, obviously, we have three great enemies we're all battling. The devil, the flesh, and the world. The flesh is inside of you, trying to control you. The world is outside of you, trying to conform you. And the devil, of course, is outside of you, trying to destroy you. Those battles are obviously going on. But I don't know that that's the primary problem. I think in my life, the reason I am maybe not what I ought to be is not that I don't know enough Scripture, although I could know more, obviously. You can always know more. But I think probably my issue, and I think probably your issue, is we don't properly apply Scripture. We may know the truth, but there has never been a life-changing application of truth. Now, again, I know that the devil and the flesh and the world battle against that, but I think, folks, that we need somehow to learn to apply Scripture. And by the way, that's what your homework was about, you bunch of losers, I tell you what. Paul is praying for the church at Colossae, and as he prays for them, you should be in Colossians chapter 1, by the way. I didn't tell you that. He prays that they would have the knowledge of God's will. He wants them to know what God's will is for their life, but he doesn't stop there. He said, not only do you need to know the truth, but you need to have wisdom and understanding in personal application of the truth. And if you do that, there are five great effects or benefits of applying God's Word to your life. Now, this morning I want to briefly review. Maybe I should take the whole lesson in review, since my last lesson was so effective. And then cover some new ground. Now, as we look again at verse 9 of chapter 1, Paul is praying and he says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled." And what does that word filled, what's the idea there? Not just having your mind full of the Word of God, but it's stronger than that. It is dominant, or it is controlled by the knowledge of the will of God. He said, "That's my desire for you." And then he says, when you're filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom, there's the idea of the principle, and spiritual understanding, there's the idea of application. Now, I want to take just a couple minutes and talk again about proper application. It's interesting, the two people that did their homework, both of them have spoken to me, and we've talked a little bit about the difficulty of ascertaining what the truth of the passage is. Now, we talked last week about the fact that when you read God's Word, you need to ascertain what God is saying. What is the truth that God is saying? All right, now that truth may be the same as the principle. It may not be. It may be the same. But then there is the personal application. All right, because God said this, therefore I need to do this. And I tell you, folks, I really think this is where we drop the ball. If I were to go around the room, probably all of you could tell me the story of David and Goliath. But what's the truth of the story of David and Goliath? Oh, it's obvious. Always carry 5 stones and a slingshot, right? That's the personal application, right? You could start a 5 stones church. We were just in Florida for a couple days with Sarah. They've got the weirdest churches. The next level church is right across the street from their house. The next level. What a bunch of junk. You drive through Fort Myers, there's every church of every... I've never seen such junk. I'm going to start a church, the 5 Stones Church. There it is. Keep 5 stones in your pocket just in case you come against any giants. Well, now, obviously, I have taken a truth, and the principle is totally incorrect, and the application is horrendous. By the way, this is how cults get started. They take a verse, they take it out of context, they make an improper application, they take one verse, and they don't care about the rest of Scripture, and they come up with a doctrine, and they build a church. And that's why we've got so much junk today. Now, if we're not careful, folks, especially when you're reading the Old Testament, you can come up with the same things. I've been reading in Deuteronomy, and some of the laws in Deuteronomy. I haven't had time yet to put the blue tassels in the bottom of my pants. My wife's kind of been busy this week. Well, now, again, obviously, folks, you need to understand truth, and you need to make proper application. Now, I'm going to look at Ed's here real quickly. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. Romans 6, verse 6. Now, again, we're looking for the truth. What does Paul say? Okay? That's usually pretty clear-cut. What is Paul saying? And then the principle, and in this passage, what Paul is saying is the same as the principle and in the application. All right, let me throw it out to you. Now, I want you to think, okay? Now, look, if you do not learn how to read God's Word and draw forth truth and principles and application, you will not grow as a Christian. And we're going to cover that in a minute. You're going to stay a baby Christian your whole life. Okay? Here we go. Romans 6, 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Okay? The question is, what is the truth that Paul is teaching in that verse? Let me read it one more time while you're thinking. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. In that verse, what is the truth that is being stated? What's that? That's kind of getting into the principle. What's the truth? What does the verse say? What's that? Okay, there's the truth. When you got saved, the old man was crucified. Sin no more has dominion over you. Okay, that's the truth. Now, in this case, what's the principle? Well, it's the same. And that's often true in the New Testament. All right, what is the personal application? Now, when you're making the personal application, it should be, today I will, or today I will not. See, this is where the rubber meets the road, folks. This is where the Word of God changes your life. All right, so what's the personal application you would make? This side. That side did real well. Come on, this side. Be more specific. I will not serve sin today because I don't have to. Right? Isn't that the application? Now, by the way, when the devil tempts you, what does he say to you? When the devil comes to you and tempts you, he gets you thinking, well, I'm going to sin. There's nothing I can do about it. Might as well just go ahead and do it. How many have been there? How many are alive? Okay. Now, this says, when the devil tells you that, you say, oh, wait a minute. When I got saved, I died to sin. Sin no more has dominion over me. I will not sin. I will not give him the temptation. Because I don't have to. Does that make sense? Okay? That's why I got a candy bar. See how easy that is for a candy bar? You too could have had a candy bar. Jen, what did I do with yours? Well, here it is. Jen wrote a whole page. Jeremiah 32:17. Here's the verse. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there's nothing too hard for thee. Okay? Good. What's the truth? He did it. Okay? And what is it? So what? What do you know about God? If God created everything, what do you know about him? He's all powerful. Is that the truth? God is all powerful. All right. What's the principle? This is good. She says, nothing is too hard for God. He hath great power. Let's see. Maybe I'm skipping to your application. You've got two. She's done her homework twice. Let me give you another candy bar, Johnny. She also did John 3:16. Here's the application. Here it is. Well, let me ask you. I know what Jan wrote, and it's correct. What's the application today? What's the application today? Okay, which strengthened me. God has all power. All right, today I will have victory through God's power. No matter what comes, God is powerful enough to help me today. Now, by the way, when are you going to need that passage? Now, do you see what's happening, folks? Now, real quickly, she's got John 3:16. You know that verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What is the truth from that verse? First phrase. God loves the world. And because he loved, he gave. Okay? What's the principle? What's the principle? We need to love and we need to give. What's the personal application? Today I will love my wife and I will give to her. I will seek to meet her needs. Today I will love my neighbor. Today I will love the people I work with and will try to minister to them. Are you getting it? How many said that makes sense? Shake your head. How many said, I don't have a clue what you're talking about? Three honest people. Good. All right. Now, here's your homework for next week. I don't want to drive. Here it is. I want you to find a notebook. And every day this week, as you read your Bible, now, obviously, you have to do it. You have to read it before you can write something down. Here's what I want you to do this week. I want you to take a notebook, and every day, I want you, as you read the Word of God, I want you to sit down, and now, if you're reading 4 or 5 chapters, is it possible to write down the truth and principle of application from all 5 chapters? Well, unless it has one theme. No. And by the way, if you read the Word of God that way, and you're done reading, and you said, oh, I read Deuteronomy 27 through 43. Wow, I'm done. What have you learned? Well, I don't know. I read Deuteronomy 20. What did you read today? Oh, I read Deuteronomy. So, if you're reading 3 or 4 chapters, which there's nothing wrong with that because if you're going to read through the Bible, I want you to find one passage where the Lord speaks to you about. And I want you to write down the truth from that passage, the principle, which may be the same, and the personal application. Now, here it is, folks. The truth and the personal application are the two main things. If you struggle with the principle, don't worry about it. Unless you're in the Old Testament, you're picking some weird verse. Okay? And you're not going to put wool garments with linen garments anymore. You know, don't. Yeah. Okay? Truth, principle, application. The application should be today I will, or today I will not. Make it personal. How many would say this week, with the Lord's help, I am going to attempt to do my homework every day? Be honest. If you're not going to, don't worry about it. All right, Jan? I'm going to do my best I can in my homework. All right, good. We'll see what happens next week. Now, here's the thing, folks. The reason I'm riding this horse and beating the fire out of this horse is because you will not grow as a Christian until you learn to do this. Until you can take the Word of God and say, this is what God wants me to do. Okay? All right, now, we said earlier, there are 5 great benefits of doing your homework. I mean, of doing this every day in your life. Same difference. Five great benefits of finding knowledge, principalizing it, and then applying it. And we looked at the first one last week. Let's look back in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And he says in verse 10, here's the first one. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. What does that mean? Look, he says, if you will learn to take the word of God and find the truth and apply it to your life will do what? It'll please God. Now, look, here's the motive for doing this. Not so you can come back next week and get a candy bar, because if all of you do it, I'm not giving you a candy bar, I'm sorry. If only three of you do, you never know what happened. Okay. Why do you do it? Why is it important to spend time in God's Word every day and find the truths and apply them to your life? Why is it important? Because if you do, it will cause you to please God. Isn't that what you want in your Christian life? I was talking to someone this morning, and we were lamenting how often we fail the Lord. And we just wish we could have victory over sin. We were in Romans chapter 7. You know, things I don't want to do, I do, and the things I don't want to do, I do what I do. You know, that whole thing. What's the answer? Getting God's word, find the truth, apply it to your life, change your life, folks. And if you will do that, you will walk worthy. Your daily conduct, the things you do Monday morning and Monday afternoon and Monday night will please the Lord. Wouldn't it be great, Monday night about 10:30, I don't know what time you go to bed, I go to bed 11, just before you go to bed, to look back over the day and say, you know what? Today I believe I pleased the Lord. Wouldn't that be great? Is it possible? Is it possible to please the Lord? Yes, it is. Now, the problem is, the norm, which is trying to please the Lord, we are so far from that that we've decided, well, it's not possible, we just can't do it. Yes, it is. If you will get in God's Word and you will study it and know the truth and apply them to your life, it'll change your life, and you can come to the end of the day and say, boy, it's been a good day. I have pleased the Lord today. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? I know, again, we still have the flesh, the devil, and the world. And we struggle with those things. I know that. But folks, if you're going to please the Lord, it's going to be because you spent time applying God's Word in your life. How many of you are hot? This thing appears not to be working. Well, it's only 69 degrees. You should be fine. I'm burning up. All right. Now, what's the next one? Let's move ahead. Verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Oh, here's the next one. Being fruitful in every good work. Now, let me ask a question. How much of a priority does God place on Christians being fruitful? Oh, my. Now, let me just give you some verses. In the parable of the sower and the seed, it says, but he that received the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Now, if you'd asked me 20 years ago who was saved in the passage of the parable, I probably would have said the last two. I think I've changed my mind. I think it's the last group only. Because Christians will produce fruit. They'll be fruitful. Now, why did God... One of the reasons God saved you was to be fruitful. Did you realize that? In John chapter 15 and verse 16, it says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. How many of you today say, I am a Christian, I'm on my way to heaven, I'm sure of it? This is what just helped wake you up too. All right. If God has chosen you, Rick, if he has saved you, you know what he wants you to do? He's chosen you to be fruitful. Any arguments? Pretty clear cut, isn't it? Let me give a couple more. One of the purposes of God's chastening in the Christian life, according to Hebrews chapter 12, is so we'll be fruitful. Notice Hebrews 12:11 says, "Now no chastening for the present time seemeth to be joyous." And of course, we could all say, amen, that's the truth. "But grievous, nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness." Why does God chasten his children? Because you're doing wrong and he wants you to do right. A fruit of righteousness. God brings disciplines to help us to do right. The same thing is taught in John 15:2, where it says, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." God wants to bring forth fruit in your life. You know what else? What is the primary purpose or goal that God has for you? We've talked about this before. What does God want? What's the primary purpose for mankind? To glorify God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." Now, what does that mean? That means to give a proper reflection of who God is. That's what God wants you in your life Monday, whatever you're facing, to give a proper reflection of who God is. Wow. Pretty tall order. Guess what? In John 15:8, it says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." When you are a fruitful Christian, and that only makes sense, doesn't it? If the fruit of a Christian life is righteousness, a righteous life, Christ is righteous. We are like him as we obey him, and we produce that fruit in our life. Now, what is the fruit of the Christian life? I've already mentioned a couple of them. Obviously, the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:20. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love. Joy. Peace. Long-suffering. Gentleness. Meekness. Goodness. I think we said that order. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. My favorite, temperance. Which is not has nothing to do with drinking. Well, I guess it could. It has something to do with self-control. Fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit. God wants to produce that in your life, doesn't he? Now look, here you see what we're saying, folks? As you spend time in God's Word and you find the truth of God's Word and you find the principle and you apply it to your life, you're going to be fruitful. You're going to be like Christ. You're going to have love and joy and peace. You say, "You know, Gary, I just don't have any joy in my life at all." You know why? You know the problem? It's your circumstances. Is that the problem? No. No. What's the problem? If the fruit of the Spirit is joy, and you don't have joy, what's the problem? By the way, it's interesting. In Colossians chapter 3, I believe it is, it talks about this verse, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." And you know what is interesting? The fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of being filled with the word of God are identical. You look at him, you'll see. Fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of righteousness we've already talked about. The fruit of souls, undoubtedly. Winning other people to Christ. If you plant an apple tree tomorrow, what do you plan to pick next year? Oranges, right? Obviously not. There you go. Thank you for fanning. There's one person that's hot I can turn on. You expect to get apples. What's the proper fruit of a Christian? Other Christians. That's the fruit. The fruit of righteousness. All of these things, folks, are true, and we should be producing fruit. There's the fruit of praise. In Hebrews 13:15, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Let me ask you a question. How thankful were you this week? Ah, stupid weather. By the way, I left the country when the weather came. I was in Florida, so I hope you all did okay. My lands. I think you'll hear more about storms in the morning service this morning. Fruit of thanks. Now, how do you produce fruit in the Christian life? Now, turn to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. (Clears throat) We'll tie this all together and then we'll stop. Okay? Psalm chapter 1. All right, here it is. Blessed or happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Notice verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Is that not Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9? Being filled with the knowledge of his will, with understanding, with wisdom and understanding. Same thing. See, this person reads God's word, and then all day and all night he meditates on it. What does that tell you? Well, he remembered what he read. Now, what happens to that kind of person? Look in verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Shall prosper. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And we'll start reading verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the, notice the next phrase. Are you with me? Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be the partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's the world through lust. What does he talk about? He's talking about a person who knows the word of God. He's consumed with the word of God. He's applying the word of God. And notice what happens now in verse 8. He's talking about adding or chorusing all these different things together. And if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, the principles found throughout the Word of God, folks. Now, there's going to come a time in your life when you're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. Rather sobering experience. And your life is going to be examined, and he's going to be looking for some fruit. What kind of fruit? If he examined your life this last week, what kind of fruit would he have found? Would he have found the fruit of the Spirit? Would he have found the fruit of souls, out witnessing to people, talking about the Lord? Would he have found the fruit of righteousness, right living? Would he have found the fruit of praise? What kind of fruit? He said, well, he wouldn't have found those. All right, then let me tell you the problem. You're not reading the Word of God every day. You're not finding the truth. You're not applying it to your life. Because if you do on a daily basis, you're going to be fruitful. You will be fruitful. Wives, you say, well, I've never read the Word of God like that, but I want to start. I'm going to start reading God's Word. I'm going to find out what it has to say for me. I'm going to apply it today. I tell you what, gentlemen, you'll have a new wife in 2 weeks, guaranteed. Same through us men. Say, I really struggle loving my wife. You know, I want to do my thing, and I just don't want to do the thing. Hey, the problem is you're not filled with the Spirit of God. And you can't love the way you should love. And the reason you're not filled with the Spirit of God is because you're not filled with the Word of God. And you're not making proper application. Now, again, you say, Seaman, get over it, son. You're saying the same thing over and over again. You're right. You don't need to go to the next level church, hallelujah, and go to some seminar about the deeper Christian life. You don't need to go for a week up on a mountain in Tibet somewhere and meditate on your navel, you know? You need to get in God's Word every day and find the truth and apply it to your life, and you will be what God wants you to be. It's that simple. He's confused back there. It's that simple. Now, look, we've seen two things, or three more. We'll try to cover those next week. But folks, the longer I've studied this passage, the more the Lord has worked in my heart that this is what I need, and this is what you need. Well, I got all these problems. I'm going to go to the pastor and get some counseling, and I got all these problems. Wait. Have you spent time in God's Word first? Are you applying God's Word first? Now, I know there are times that we do need counsel from spiritual people, but folks, most of our problems, maybe I should say all of our problems, we solve, but we just get in God's Word and do what it says. This is the answer. Now, next Sunday at 10 o'clock, if we're still here, if the Lord hasn't come back or we've not been blown away by another storm, there will be a time of accounting, and I'm going to ask you, if you spent time in God's Word every day and you wrote down the truth and you wrote down the principle and you wrote down the application. Now, look, if you get into this thing and you say, man, I don't know what he's talking about. Oh, well, write something down. Make an effort. The people that had questions for me today about, well, now I don't know what's the truth or what's the principle. It's hard for me to nail it down. You know who they were? They were the ones that did their homework. And they're saying, I've gotten into this, and boy, I just want to understand. I want to make the truth real in my life. Folks, this is the answer. Paul says it's the answer. I am convinced from other scripture, this is the answer. This is what you need. This is what I need. And as we get in and do this, folks, we can walk worthy of the Lord. We can have a life that pleases the Lord, and we can be fruitful. Now, there's three other great benefits we're going to look at next week. Okay? Are you for me? Or are you against me? Some of you look like you're mad at this point. If I made you mad enough to do something, then hallelujah, that's good. Now look, here's the thing. You'll never change unless you will come to the point where you are not happy with your current life. Okay? Let me tell you this real quickly. I went to visit Johnny Saylor's mom in the nursing home. I walk in there. I hadn't seen the lady for 20 years. First thing she says is, you gained weight. The next day, I was wearing a pair of pants that were kind of old, and the button popped off the front of my pants. Since that time, I've lost 10 pounds. What did I need? I need some motivation. Now look, folks, be motivated. Let the Lord make... We need to get in our point in our life, folks, where we're just not... We need a holy dissatisfaction with the way we're living as Christians, or you'll never change. Now, if you're happy the way your Christian life is, don't listen to a thing I said today. If you want to please the Lord and have fruit and have a life that counts for God, let's get busy and do what God wants to do this week. All right? Lord, you know what's stirring in my heart. I need this. Help me to be faithful this week as I read your word and not just reading and marking off that I read it. Help me to find the truths and make the application that my life would change, that I would become more like you, that I would please you this week in what I do, and that I would be fruitful as a believer, I pray. Work in our hearts. Help us. God, give us a desire to walk with you and to know you and to have lives that please you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.